It happened just a week later. Fletcher was demonstrating the elements of high-speed flying to a class of new students. He had just pulled out of his dive from 7,000 feet, a long gray streak, firing a few inches above the beach, when a young bird on its first flight glided directly into his path, calling for its mother. With a tenth of a second to avoid the youngster, Fletcher Lynn Seagull snapped hard to the left at something over 200 miles per hour into a cliff of solid granite. It was for him as though the rock were a giant hard door into another world, a burst of fear and shock and black as he hit. And then he was adrift in a strange, strange sky, forgetting, remembering, forgetting, afraid and sad and sorry, terribly sorry. The voice came to him as it had in the first day that he had met Jonathan Livingston Seagull. "The trick, Fletcher, is that we are trying to overcome our limitations in order, patiently. We don't tackle flying through rock until a little later in the program."
"Jonathan?"
"Also known as the son of the great gull," his instructor said dryly.
"What are you doing here? The cliff. Haven't I... didn't I... die?"
"Oh, Fletch, come on. Think. If you are talking to me now, then obviously you didn't die, did you? What you did manage to do was to change your level of consciousness rather abruptly. It's your choice now. You can stay here and learn on this level, which is quite a bit higher than the one you left, by the way, or you can go back and keep working with the flock. The elders were hoping for some kind of disaster, but they're startled that you obliged them so well."
"I want to go back to the flock, of course. I've barely begun with the new group."
"Very well, Fletcher. Remember what we were saying about one's body being nothing more than thought itself?"
Fletcher shook his head and stretched his wings and opened his eyes at the base of the cliff, in the center of the whole flock assembled. There was a great clamor of squawks and screams from the crowd when first he moved.
"He lives. He that was dead lives. Touched him with a wingtip, brought him to life, the son of the great gull."
"No, he denies it. He's a devil. Devil, come to break the flock."
There were 4,000 gulls in the crowd, frightened at what had happened, and the cry, "Devil," went through them like the wind of an ocean storm. Eyes glazed, beaks sharp, they closed in to destroy.
"Would you feel better if we left, Fletcher?" asked Jonathan.
"I certainly wouldn't object too much if we did." Instantly they stood together a half mile away, and the flashing beaks of the mob closed on empty air.
"Why is it," Jonathan puzzled, "that the hardest thing in the world is to convince a bird that he is free, and that he can prove it for himself if he just spent a little time practicing? Why should that be so hard?"
Fletcher still blinked from the change of scene.
"What did you just do? How did we get here?"
"You did say you wanted to be out of the mob, didn't you?"
"Yes, but how did you..."
"Like everything else, Fletcher, practice."
By morning, the flock had forgotten its insanity, but Fletcher had not.
"Jonathan, remember what you said a long time ago about loving the flock enough to return to it and help it learn?"
"Sure."
"I don't understand how you managed to love a mob of birds that has just tried to kill you."
"Oh, Fletch, you don't love that. You don't love hatred and evil, of course. You have to practice and see the real gull, the good in every one of them, and to help them see it in themselves. That's what I mean by love. It's fun when you get the knack of it. I remember a fierce young bird, for instance, Fletcher Lynn Seagull, his name, just been made outcast, ready to fight the flock to the death, getting a start on building his own bitter hell out on the far cliffs. And here he is today, building his own heaven instead, and leading the whole flock in that direction."
Fletcher turned to his instructor, and there was a moment of fright in his eye.
"Me leading? What do you mean, me leading? You're the instructor here. You couldn't leave.
Couldn't I? Don't you think that there might be other flocks, other Fletchers, that need an instructor more than this one, that's on its way toward the light? Me? John, I'm just a plain seagull, and you're the only son of the great gull, I suppose. Jonathan sighed and looked out to sea. You don't need me any longer. You need to keep finding yourself a little more each day, that real, unlimited Fletcher seagull. He's your instructor. You need to understand him and to practice him. A moment later, Jonathan's body wavered in the air, shimmering, and began to go transparent. Don't let them spread silly rumors about me or make me a god. Okay, Fletch? I'm a seagull. I like to fly, maybe.
Jonathan!
Poor Fletch. Don't believe what your eyes are telling you. All they show is limitation. Look with your understanding. Find out what you already know, and you'll see the way to fly. The shimmering stopped. Jonathan Seagull had vanished into empty air. After a time, Fletcher Gull dragged himself into the sky and faced a brand new group of students, eager for their first lesson.